Yeah, g'day everyone. Welcome back to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkey. We are here to preview everything round three in the NRL and hand out some best bets where our 2024 record sits at 5-2. We're in profit, which is a great thing. A warm welcome to everyone who's now joining on Instagram. We're also live on Facebook and YouTube. This is a live show. We do react to your comments as they roll through, so please do get involved with the show. With that in mind, let me welcome the man who's been making bank accounts across this country great again. He's in his 10th season now. He's a veteran. We love him. The one, the only, Jacob Wynn. How are you going, my friend?
I'm not too bad. Thanks, mate. 5-2 is great, but let's face it as well. 0-2 on mixed matchup so far. Haven't hit either SGM so far either. I think we've only had a 1-2. We didn't have some in round one. But given the amount of surprises so far this year, I would actually like to be further in front. I feel like I can live with the losses, but I probably should have peaked a couple more wins. Nevertheless, keep building, plenty of time. And I've got more best bets than anyone could have guessed for tonight.
Yeah, typically in the last few seasons, you've been, I won't say reserved with the best bets, but there's lots of times where you go to a game and you go, I looked at it here, but I didn't quite get over the line. This week, as I understand it, speaking to you pre-show, you do have quite a few best bets. So let's draw back the curtain on those. Let's go through our best bets for round three of the NRL season. What have you got for us?
Okay, so always share them in the first 5 minutes and six to share. Okay, starting off Thursday night, grand final rematch. I'm taking the Broncos plus 10.5. Yes, Adam Reynolds is out against the Panthers, but the Fish is out as well. I give the Broncos every chance of going toe-to-toe. And it's a massive revenge spot. I think a double-digit line is too much. So plus 10.5 Brisbane at $1.90 on Betr. Then on Friday, I'm taking the Raiders team total under 18 points. That's on team alternate totals on TopSport at $1.83. So under 18 is a flat number, which means we'd get money back if it lands on exactly 18. It's another way of playing New Zealand, who I do really like, at home. 0-2 against the 2-0 Raiders, but I really feel like New Zealand plays with finals intensity here. Raiders can't match that, and New Zealand's the stronger side for mine. On Saturday, I am going your Gold Coast Titans plus half a try at $1.80 on 365. That is the try handicap, most tries handicap. For me, it's a very tight game. There's reasons for both sides, and both sides are going to want it at Belmore. But the Titans off the bye, time to stew. I think they're going to edge this one. And if I'm slightly leaning to a team to win, but I can catch a full half try where you could easily lose a narrow one, but still not be outscored in terms of tries, I've got to take it. So we'll go Gold Coast again, even though they failed us miserably last time. Then we move to the Tigers at Leichhardt. That's right. I'm not taking all the most fancy sides for sure, but West Tigers plus 12.5. At $1.90 on Betr and TopSport, they host the Sharks. I feel like the Sharks' best forward is Nikora. He's suspended. Tigers get a couple ins, such as Ollam club debut. And just think, this early in the year, we don't know everything about these sides yet. That's a mighty line, the biggest of the round, and I'm willing to take it for a side that was pretty embarrassed in their only showing so far this season. Move to Sunday. I'm on both the home sides head-to-head as well. So Eels straight up, $1.87. I would play it on 365 because of the extra time, extra chance. Knights straight up, $1.88. The Eels host Manly. I think Parra is the better team and they're at home. The Knights host Melbourne. I think the Knights are the better team when you factor in Munster is out and Jerome Hughes is suspended and the Knights are 0-2. Melbourne is 2-0. And Newcastle is at home. It's as simple as that. I'll take both those sides where I'm not even laying any points. They're mini, mini favourites, but only by a few cents. All they've got to do is win for me. Is your head spinning? Can you remember all those?
That's what I was about to say. Usually at this point of the show, we kind of stop and go over the couple or two or three best bets, but there's that many. I think the best thing would be for us to just roll straight into our preview each game, which gives you the floor to explain it a little bit further. And then while I'm speaking, you can also type it out as a comment if that works for you. I think that's the best way.
I'll type them as we speak.
Perfect. All righty, I'll jump into it for us. Thursday night, it's the Panthers v Broncos. We're at Bluebet Stadium in Penrith, and the line is set at minus 11.5 in the Panthers' favour. As you touched on, there's no James Fisher-Harris for the Panthers, and there's no Adam Reynolds for the Broncos. So two very influential and key figures missing from both of these sides. Now, it is a grand final rematch. I think an element of this is unfortunate that neither side is at full strength, because we do really want to see that. Both sides went 1-1 last year in the regular season, I believe. The Panthers got them once and the Broncos got them once. But in this one, I probably have to go the way of the Panthers. I think that they are they're at the fortress of Blue Bet. And we touched on this last week, where it's not quite, because they're so good, it's almost overshadowed how insane their home record is. The Broncos have only actually won once in Penrith in 15 years, whereas the Panthers are now 14 from 15 at the venue in recent games. So it is a fortress for them. It's a ground that they are very, very tough to be beaten at. It's as simple as that. When I break this down, with Adam Reynolds missing, I can't see anything but a Penrith victory. I think that someone like James Fisher-Harris, as good as he is easier to replace in that front row rather than Adam Reynolds, because he is the halfback that orchestrates everything for Broncos. And I don't think many footy fans would push back on that one. So the question straight away goes to this line. Is it too large to pay Penrith? And I think it is. I think the Broncos shown us in the grand final last year, they can score points on this Penrith side, and they can score them very fast. And in actual fact, another positive from that is most of those points were actually coming through Ezra Mann. They weren't coming through Adam Reynolds. So that's a big positive there if you are going to tip the Broncos. The other factor is they have to be highly motivated here. We see it every year. The side that loses in the grand final comes out and competes their absolute best in the first rematch opportunity they get. So despite them being under strength of that Reynolds, I feel more than comfortable in tipping the Broncos plus 12.5 here. But as you said, that line has moved a little bit in from when we prepared these notes, right? Is it more at 10.5 now?
You wrote 12.5. Did you see a 12.5?
I didn't. I saw 11.5. I went 12.5 to play my own line.
Okay, 11.5 and 12.5 is basically the same. But when I was looking before, I couldn't even see 11.5. So I would suggest that since team lists have dropped, that it's crunching in. In fact, I think it's even into 9.5 in places, which goes to show maybe that is too many points and others feel the same way, despite the fact it's horrible timing to lose Reynolds. And when you're going up against the best, you know, and let's just say without question, one of the best halfbacks to ever do it in his at the peak of his powers, it's going to be tough without Adam Reynolds. But when you consider Brisbane's biggest strengths is that they've got some of the best bigs in the league, Fisher-Harris is a huge loss as well. Now, the Panthers reinforced that home ground fortress that you spoke about. They got revenge on one of the few sides that did defeat them in Penrith last year. That was Parra. They get the chance to do the same again this week. Because you mentioned Brisbane's only won in Penrith once in the last 15.
Correct.
But that was also last year. So it's Penrith that probably wants to, you know, set that right. However, it's the mother of all revenge spots for Brisbane. I know that Broncos fans don't want to hear this. It's almost cruel for me to say it again, but I got to say it again. The grand final was all over. It was all over. They were up 16. They had scored four tries in a row in the game, but three in pretty quick succession. Cleary was injured. Remember, Cleary couldn't play the rest of the year for Australia. His knee was no good. He was missing tackles. Luai was off. His shoulder was no good. Yeo was in HIA. Brisbane was on the attack. All the momentum. Brisbane was not just going to win the grand final. They were going to win 20-plus until it all changed, which we've waxed lyrical about how that did occur. But again, Brisbane's got to feel like they owe Penrith for that one, and they had to have this match circled on the calendar. And I would love to know what the look-ahead line was. You know, I probably should do a better job of just checking. Although I can't dip in a bet on some of these, it's interesting to see the adjustments. And I'm going to guess, but we've got a very educated audience, so someone will probably let me know what this line was before Reynolds got injured. That's what I want to know. I would suggest it was probably around the 6.5 range. So then you're going to tell me we've moved this line 5 to 6 points based on the loss of Reynolds, which is kind of like the Storm line, where they were probably a 1.5 if Munster would have played, but it leaked all the way out to like 6.5 against Penrith. Okay, if you want to tell me Reynolds is as important as Munster, I can live with that. But where's the vicious fish factored into that? So again, double-digit line, too much for me. That's why I'm taking Brisbane plus 10.5.
Back Yourself podcast from Instagram says the line was 7.5 before the Reynolds news.
Yeah.
And it's now been crunched into 9.5. So it feels like
Depends how you look at it. But because it's 10.5 in some places. But you would say once Reynolds was out, they've gone through the number of 8 and 10. So two key numbers, which is similar to how the Melbourne line did adjust, but I'm saying it's got to come back a little bit because the fish is an important part of the engine room for Penrith.
Definitely is. So we're both on the same result there. We've both got the Broncos at the line for our All For My Tip and for your best bet. We'll move to the Friday night game. It's the
Let
Warriors.
Me respond to Brent's comment too. Is that the most best bets I've dished out in a single round? So going back years ago, I feel like it was even easier to find really good prices, really good markets. It's tightened up. And part of that is if we beat the bookies time and time again, those markets get harder to find and other people are looking for them too. In more recent years, I've definitely tried to refine and I feel like it's the only way to keep the winning percentage as high as people expect. Last year, we averaged 3 to 4 best bets around. So 6 is definitely at that top level. You would not expect kind of more than 6 in any round. But it's not the most ever, but it is a lot. I'll give you that, Brent. But I'll be hoping we can go at least 4 and 2 out of these.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you and Alex had like 20 best bets.
Back in the day. It was, we could find a lot of different derivatives of our bets. And because they were getting smashed so quickly, it was kind of like, well, we actually found 5 different ways we're comfortable playing this team. But that was back when bookies had a bit more variance in their numbers as well. So if a team's team total was anywhere around 20 number, for example, you could easily always get over 19.5 if you wanted the over or under 20.5 if you wanted the under. I feel like the bookies are more than ever have a lot of the same numbers, which makes it harder to beat, but we do our best.
Yeah, that's the world of AI these days. They've probably got a software program that reaches out and sees what's the going rate with others. Let's move to Friday night. It's the Warriors v Raiders. We're at Christchurch, and the line is set at -7.5 in the Warriors' favour. One key change for this game, Elliot Whitehead, the Raiders' captain, returns, but that does force informed back rower Zach Hosking to the bench. I look at this game, and I straight away remember the last time we saw these sides in New Zealand. Warriors, they looked home for all money. They looked home and host, absolutely. Then the Raiders decide to score 2 tries in the final 2 minutes. Jared Croker misses that conversion from the sideline. We go to extra time, and 1 minute later, Sean Johnson ends the comeback right there. Raiders are 2-0 this year, and the Warriors are 0-2. But with that being said, I'm still going to go with the Warriors. I feel like at this stage of the year, for the Warriors, although they are 0-2, they've shown enough in both of their losses for me to have confidence here. Like, it's not like they haven't outright been destroyed like the Titans were in round one. There's been plenty of positive signs and life still in their showings that makes me confident they can get this job done. I also get the feeling that Andrew Webster, he seems to be a coach that really this group believes in, and he knows how to motivate them and get them to their best, because the Warriors have always had potential as a side. They've just never really had a coach to consistently unlock that. Webster seems to be that guy. So I think he'll be intent on really helping them and almost making them forget what happened last week against the Storm, and using this game at a crowd in New Zealand that doesn't usually get to see them, being Christchurch, really use that as an opportunity to just wipe the memory, start clean, get the win here, record the first win of the season. So I've got the Warriors here. I think they win this one head to head. Who are you going for in this one?
Yeah, so best bet Raiders under 18 flat. And I also strongly considered New Zealand, that they're -7.5 everywhere. $1.95 was the best price on Toppy. But what it came down to for me was 26 points in Melbourne was enough to win that game, should have been. You know, we talked a lot. Again, we, you know, catch our recap show. And you can even watch our recap after we've done this if you want, because you'll hear more about how we saw each team on their most recent outing. But the attack wasn't the problem. If anything, I think the attack could be less consistent this year for New Zealand, because I don't know if Johnson's going to have a charmed run. But what they can replicate is their defence. And the issue last week was giving up 30 points to the Storm. And even giving Melbourne 18 early in the game, that meant that New Zealand had to chase. So I feel like for New Zealand to win, the formula is to defend, to hold the Raiders out. And that's why I really struggle to kind of see the Raiders exceeding 3 tries in this one. So that's why I went the Canberra team total under 18 flat. And I agree with like a lot of those same reasons that you've pointed out. It was a crazy one last year when Canberra played New Zealand. Funnily enough, eerily similar to New Zealand's last game. You had home and host, as you said, 2 tries in the final 2 minutes given up. A try on the final play of regulation time on the left wing. The difference was that New Zealand survived a sideline conversion, while they did not survive that stupendously spectacular finish for the ages by Xavier Coates. Now, admittedly, that's not the easiest loss to dust yourself off from. And you have to wonder if maybe it's just not, you know, what are New Zealand fans always say, this is our year. Well, maybe last year was your year where New Zealand won all these tight games. This year so far, they've lost two tight games. You also have to notice that, like, Canberra did nothing but win the close ones last year. And this year, they've turned the tables as well. But what they've done is turned close wins into bigger wins. So I understand that Canberra's shown us more this year than New Zealand. But if you've followed the pod for several seasons, you know the drill. I'm never backing the 2-0 against 2-0. It doesn't mean I'm automatically on the win list, but it's certainly the direction I look. I do think New Zealand wins this game as the better side. You said it there. Raiders gain Whitehead. Is that an upgrade if you're going to bench Hosking? He's been one of their form forwards. Chris is out on top. And look, the line was 5.5, so you know you don't love getting on after it's already shifted. But I feel like the bookies will struggle to make this line high enough. I talk about New Zealand playing at home. I know it's not Mount Smart, but still Christchurch, still a parochial crowd. So I don't think Canberra's going to be able to match the intensity in this one.
Exactly. And although we could go into the stat, the Warriors are only 3 from 8, I believe, at Christchurch. Different Warriors sides that have played there in the past. Very different Warriors sides, to be completely fair. Zingram26 from Instagram says, do you think it's the right call from Sticky to push Hosking to the bench? Personally, I disagree with it, but I think it suits our bet because Elliot Whitehead is a better defender than he is an attacking player, and we're looking for 18 or under here. So like where the best bet's at there, sounds like we're both seeing that game similar as well. Friday primetime, Roosters v Rabbitohs, Allianz Stadium. Line is -3.5 in the Roosters' favour. Two key halves missing from both sides here. Ilias has been dropped for the Rabbitohs, so Dean Hawkins comes in, and Luke Keary is out with that head injury assessment. So Sandon Smith moves to 5'8". Roosters had a few options there. We could have seen someone like Joseph Manu move to 5'8", Billy Smith coming at centre, but they're putting their faith in Sandon Smith, who was pretty good at hooker for them last year, but I didn't like too much of what I saw of him in the halves. Now, this is a rivalry as old as rugby league in Australia itself, let's be honest. And another chapter is set to play out live in front of our eyes. I'm always so excited when these two sides meet. I could watch it every week, I'm absolutely honest. There's just a different buzz and energy leading into this one. Now, the task does get pretty hard here for South, who could fall to 0-3 if they lose here, which is pretty unbelievable. Like, they were favourites in round one. They weren't favored against the Broncos, but they weren't massively out of it. And again, they're not massively out of this one as far as the bookies are concerned. Unfortunately for Rabbitohs, that's the way I see it. I see them falling to 0-3. There is a lot of external noise, pressure, and just negativity surrounding the Rabbitohs at the moment. And whilst there's a chance that all of that kind of capitulates together and galvanizes the group and they come out with a powerful performance, I've seen more from the Roosters this year. So I've got to go the way of the Roosters. Even for the Bunnies, I think if we go back to last year, they've won something like, I think it was like 3 of their last 14 games or something very, very poor. So they've been poor for a while now. And this Rabbitohs side that, you know, that I remember was beating the Panthers, the Broncos, the Storm in back-to-back-to-back weeks. But that side's just not there anymore. If that side was there, that line would be a lot more, it'd be very, very different, that's for sure. I think the Roosters take a more conservative game plan here. They take less opportunities, and I think that's a good thing because they tried to take way too many against Manly. And for those reasons, I think they win. Their forward pack's strong enough, and then they've got enough X factor we need to create those opportunities more naturally rather than forcing it. So I think the Roosters get the job done here. I'm pretty confident on that. Did you have a best bet on this one or any tip?
One of the two games I don't have a best bet on, but I agree with you. It is so good when these two hook up, and it's like a finals game. And last time they met, was a pseudo-finals game because it was round 27 and a spot in the finals was on the line for Souths, and the Chooks eliminated them. And you come into this one, they're both licking their wounds from round two. But I just want to lay out the spectrum for Souths after this game ends, right? Door A, Souths win. They'll be 1-2 from 3 tough games. They will have won their most recent game and most important given the rivalry. You know, they wouldn't have had Whiten, but they would have won with Whiten. So people say, well, that's a better reflection of what they're capable of. If they've won, Hawkins is probably an upgrade at 7. And people will tell you, Souths can absolutely win the comp. You beat Roosters in this game, you know, Whiten's there, Campbell Graham's still to come, the arrow's out, like maybe Hawkins shows you, you win the comp. But door B is Souths lose and suddenly they're spiraling. And you kind of said it there. I mean, go back to round 11 last year. They were favourites to win the comp. They were top of the ladder. They had beaten Melbourne, Brisbane and Penrith, I think, all away. They had won six in a row. They were top of the ladder. And you kind of already said at the start, I think there have been 18 rounds of NRL since then, and Souths have won four times since round 11 last year. And those wins are Titans, Warriors, Tigers, Dragons. Not exactly a murderer's row either. Now, I said rounds of NRL. Okay, yeah, the Souths had a couple of buys in there too, sure. But I'm laying out the narrative that it would be 4 from 17 if Souths lose. People will say Latrell's head's not in the game or whatever they want to say about Latrell. They'll say Souths don't have a solution at 7, which goes all the way back to the decision to not extend Reynolds. Demetrio can't control a team. He's in the news this week for podcast comments that he's let standards slip. Maybe that's why Sam Burgess left. People at 0-3, people will say Souths won't make the 8. And the difference between door A and door B could be one moment, could be a 1 or a 2-point loss. But this is what the energy will be after the game. It will be poles apart. So you can't overstate the importance for South Sydney. Now everyone wants me to tell you how it's going to go, but I'm not confident enough to really tell you other than I just can't miss this one. I do believe Whiten is a true alpha and is going to boost the side. Hawkins was New South Wales player of the cup last year. It's got to be an improvement on what they've been getting out of Ilias. Roosters lose Keary. I think Sander Smith will do fine. And I can recall once or twice where he deputised in the halves that I think held his own. But it depends how you look at this too. I'm not one to second guess Trent Robinson. Egan Butcher, Siwa Wong, Billy Smith are all in the reserves. But that probably tells you how stacked Sydney still are. So ultimately, if I'm backing this game, if I'm betting on this game, which I'm not, but if I had to, I don't want to go against the South side whose backs are against the wall. I could easily see the Rabbitohs reviving themselves here. So I'll lean to Souths with the 3.5 if I had to play it. But luckily I don't. I'll just enjoy watching it.
Yeah, Colt Sando from YouTube. He's on South as well. He's got them 1-12 and Kaloma Tungi anytime try scorer. And Back Yourself Podcast from Instagram and again says Souths are 0-10 against the spread in their last games. Does that mean when they are underdogs?
Well, if that's right, and I'd have to look back, they're saying that Souths haven't covered a line for 10 weeks. Wow. Obviously, okay. Haven't covered the two this year. You've got to go back to last year. I'm trying to think. That might not be wrong. Like the wins you had in there, you beat the Dragons, didn't cover the line that game. Beat the Titans in there, I think.
Okay, that's like 18 cover. Or something.
Probably going back to a win over in New Zealand. I know that Souths were underdogs and won that one. And that was super impressive and kind of threw me off the scent of where their season was headed. But I'd have to fact check that one. But if that's even close to true, it says a lot about how much the side is underperforming because the line adjusts each week based on performance.
That is super interesting. Yeah, you still can't cover when every week it's rolling based on performances. But this game, don't forget, it'll have our better same game multi created by Winnie. Didn't register a win in his first same game multi of the season created last week, but with the success of 2023, I've no doubt it won't take long to get a win on the board this year. Better also brings you the Fox Sports Lap on their YouTube channel after you've watched our show, of course. If you want to check out Better and you need an account, follow the link in the show's description, then get in touch with Winnie. As always, an important reminder, what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential advice, call the number or visit the website in the show description. Excited to see what you cook up there. So many possibilities for try scorers, margins, etc. Going to be a brilliant game of footy. We move to Saturday afternoon. It's the Bulldogs v Titans. We're at Belmore and this one is a pick'em. Big news in this one, Kieran Foran returns for the Titans. Alrighty, you guys know what time it is. Block your ears because I'm about to dribble. It's my Titans. And if I'm being biased, I can't help it. But both sides here are looking for their first win of 2023. And let me get this out of the way. I am going to be tipping my team. Look, round one was devastating. There's no hiding away from that. But with a bye in round two, it almost ended up being a blessing in disguise where it gave players that needed to get away, as strange as that sounds, to clear their minds, like Moeki Fodawake went back to his home in Tonga, and other players sort of separated for a little bit, disconnected from footy, and have come back and worked really hard and hopefully diligently in this one to come up with the result. So it was a blessing in disguise. I just look at this Titans roster and look, I know there's so much talent on that paper. It just takes the right game plan or maybe the right player in Kieran Foran to unlock it. Whereas for the Doggies, they're not that strong on paper, respectfully, and they haven't looked very damaging in attack at all. Their halves have only combined for one line break assist in attack so far this year. So that's well below par. You know, when players are coming up with good halves, are coming up with multiple per game. I think we see a more composed Titans side this weekend with the return of Kieran Foran. The Bulldogs have only won two of their last 11 from Belmore as well, so that did surprise me. But the home advantage isn't as significant as it might seem, at least based on recent results. And with Kieran Foran back, I just get the feeling that if the Titans build the same pressure they did against the Dragons, they'll actually convert some of that to points. And if they don't convert it to points, then certainly they're gonna get some pressure building aspects out of it and put some pressure on the Doggies and fatigue them. I think they look like a really different side with Kieran Foran back. Their young halves just didn't connect at all in round one. Kieran Foran back, you cannot overstate. It's a massive inclusion for this side. And I'm super confident we win this head-to-head. I know we're underdogs right now slightly, but I'm super confident we win. And that could be my famous last words, Winnie, but you like this as well. So that does give me a lot of great confidence heading into this one. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, if I've got the Titans as a best bet and you're super confident as well, could they possibly lose? I can't imagine a scenario, apart from round one where they lost by 24 to the Dragons. But here we are. Here we go again. And there was a comment I saw earlier to respond to some. You know, what are my thoughts on Titans and Bulldogs, who I did boldly have both in the top eight? It's true. Hey, the Titans have played one game so far this season. Dogs, two. None impressive so far. I was going to make that point, that these are two sides I saw signs of optimism in, and they find themselves fighting for their first win of the year. The good news is one of them will get it, and the bad news is the loser of this game, Dogs, Titans. The graphic is not the traditional graphic because you made a little slip up there, Clarky. You put a Sharks logo in place of the Titans logo, which is not a good omen. Your own team, you forgot their logo. In any case, one of these is going to be winless going into round four. Yes, Titans have only played once, so it's not as bad as being 0-3, but it's still a must-win for the Titans when you consider they lost by 24 to the Dragons, then watched the Dragons lose 38-0. So it's dark times for both these clubs. Who's going to claw their way out of it? For me, I think it will be the Titans. You know, I don't want to jinx it, but Foran is meant to be back according to today's lineup. I know there's still no Campbell or Fifita, but the Dogs' middle thinned by the loss of Farmasuli. That's what gets me over the line here, where that's the area of the field the Titans are at their strongest. Belmore is tough. I don't really want to back against the Dogs at Belmore, but a round two bye after being humbled, I think ensures we get a fully focused, fresh, fit Titans that come in and do just eke out a win. And, you know, if it was just to back a winner for a best bet, I wouldn't have that level of confidence on the Gold Coast. But getting the half a try, we go back to the Vegas games where I took the half try start with both sides, so I felt that should win. But there was a lot of uncertainty because you hadn't seen anyone play in 2024. So uncertainty here, but I think it could be narrow, the margin of victory. So I'm happy to take that half try start as a best bet.
Well, I'll tell you what, while you were talking, I put my money where my mouth is. Don't know if you'll be able to see that. Probably not. The green screen's messing up. But 5 units on the Titans, Winnie, head-to-head. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Gamble responsibly, of course, especially when it's the Titans.
And to reply to other comments, good luck there, mate. But I'm glad you're with me. Look, what the hell does SU stand for? Ben asks, and Duncan's onto it straight up. So when I say a team SU, I could have also said at Pick'em. I'm just picking them to win. Like, there's no line. And that was for the Eels and Knights. That was the case.
And apologies for stuffing up our little thumbnail on the top right there. But to be fair, it wouldn't be a tripod show if I didn't stuff one of our graphics somewhere. I was guilty for it a few times last year, as our loyal viewers pointed out. Next game on Saturday, it is the Dragons v Cowboys. We're at Wollongong and the line is set at -7.5 in the Cowboys' favour. Jesse Marschke makes his debut for the Dragons at hooker. Heelan Lukey is out for the Cowboys. Let me say this one nice and slowly. Kulia Kefu Fini Fuiaki starts in the back row instead. A very good young gun there. But you look at this Dragons side, and realistically, they could not have mixed their form any more in the opening two games. One week, they were almost faultless. The next week, they were absolutely poor. There's no other way to put it. Whilst the Cowboys have shown us in their two games, they can win under different circumstances. Dolphins, they really took control of the game and didn't allow them in too much. And then the Knights game, they had to fight hard for over 80 minutes, and they did get the win there as well. For that reason, I do prefer the Cowboys here. I'm going to take them. The Dragons, in my mind, will set a heavy focus on defense after last week. You have to when you lose 38-0. But the issue there is their attack wasn't flash at all. Obviously, they didn't score a point, right? And the only person who looked dangerous in attack for them was Tyrell Sloan. So I think if the Cowboys can limit his opportunity and limit his X factor, then I think the Dragons will actually struggle to score points, because that Dolphins side did have head injury assessments. They lost their hooker and their 5/8 in the first half there. The hooker did pass in Jeremy Marshall King, and he came back. But they're still chopping and changing there in defense and in attack, and they still managed to win 38-0. So I expect the Dragons in this one. I've actually got one similar to your Raiders tip here. I expect them to score less than 3 tries. I think the Cowboys forward pack is much stronger, you know, particularly when you take Francis Molo out. I think they dominate in the middle there. The only concern I have for the Cowboys in this matchup, to give out a tip, would be around the fact they went to extra time last week. But then again, it wasn't really a grueling overtime affair. You know, they defended a set and they won it in the next. So for that reason, I'm going to tip Cowboys at the line here. I expect them to cover that, and I expect them to keep the Dragons to a very low score in this one. You seeing it similar to that?
Not with the conviction of a best bet. I feel like North Queensland was so lucky to win on Saturday, but in many ways, that's ideal. I think you really like it. In the course of a year, you're going to have bad performances, and Cowboys will play at a C- for 75 minutes, but still come away with a win. Peyton can treat it like a loss, and he can search for improvement. The other coach that can treat last week like a loss, resoundingly so, is Flano. 38-0. At the hands of my Finn. Someone asked before, who's my team? My team is whoever I back for a best bet, followed by the Finns, which is my geographical team. And I really am supporting them and hoping to see them do well since they've joined the comp for sure. But my number one loyalty, as we've established, is with the Tripod. So Flano comes out, you know, acting like we're far better than everyone gives us credit, and he wants people to believe he's changed the culture. But you got absolutely destroyed, and that's worrying this early in the year. Now, back-to-back games in Queensland, it's not a great, like, opening draw. Now you get to come home, Josh Rowlands points out, to Cogra. However, the Cowboys are a lot better than St. George, so it's tough. I know Lukey's out, but nonetheless, the Cowboys are far superior. I just think it's quite obvious that everyone will be on North Queensland, and I'm with you. I would certainly pick them head-to-head, but I don't think that line is too cheap, because I do respect when a side plays their home opener for the year, that the effort should be there, especially after the Dragons had a horror show. You know that the team usually at least steps up in terms of effort the following week.
Yeah, I think their effort will be there. I'm just not sure how much they can turn it around in 1 week with a new coach that's trialing new systems and stuff like that. But I do respect that you're not seeing it quite as much as a best bet. And I probably have to admit, I am around the same. Like, Cowboys should win this, right? But it is still round 3. And the Dragons have shown us, if anything, in rounds 1 and 2, they are unpredictable. So it would be irresponsible, I suppose, to put them forward as a best bet there, being the Cowboys. Saturday night, Tigers v Sharkies. We're at Leichhardt Oval, which will only be an NRL ground until the end of 2025, unless the government upgrades it, which is unfortunate. But the line of this one is -11.5 in the Sharkies' favour. For the Tigers, they welcome back Justin Olam from injury. He's a straight swap for Stafford Toa, who's injured. And Aiden Caesar is the starting halfback this time, with Jaden Sullivan going to the bench. And I look at this one, I'm honestly not expecting too much. I'm seeing this one a little bit different to you, if I'm absolutely honest. I think this will be a game where, one, there's not much to preview here in my mind, and two, the Sharks just win, and they win well. If there's anything we know about this Sharky side, particularly from what we've seen over the last 2 years, is they're really good against bottom 8 sides. I remember there was a game against the Tigers last year where the Tigers fought back for a while, and maybe the Sharkies didn't quite cover the line in that one. But I just think the Sharkies win too. You compare these rosters and the form of the last few seasons, and it's a no-brainer for me. So I don't want to try to outthink the room in this one. Of course, the Tigers will be very keen to perform here back at Leichhardt and in front of their new coach, Benji Marshall. But For me, the same poor habits and traits that have plagued them the last two seasons under Michael Maguire and Tim Sheens were still evident against the Raiders. Now, that's a very small snapshot, so maybe I've seen it wrong, or maybe it was just an off day. But for that reason, I don't see Benji Marshall being able to overcome and overturn those bad habits that are just embedded in their game. I can't see him doing that over one preseason, let alone one game. It'll take a while. The Sharks are unbeaten at Leichhardt in over a decade. Not that that's too much of a stat because they don't play there that regularly. And the Tigers' last win at this venue was actually a flogging against the Cowboys. So, neutral venue, maybe you can say. I don't think Leichhardt's as big of a home advantage as the Tigers want it to be. I think Sharkies win well, and I'd be happy to take them at the line of minus 11.5. However, you see this one differently, so the floor is yours, my friend.
And maybe for another wins by 12, we could both win. And that's the beauty of when I said often the bookies are pretty in tune, but we can get variance of a point or two. I always do my best to search around. And in this case, 12.5 on Toppy and Better, 11.5 in other places. So I'm taking the plus. I'm taking the less popular side. You mentioned there you don't want to overthink this one. That's fair. And I reckon that for most punters, this is actually the most logical side that they'll pick, either head-to-head or 13+. But I look at the Tigers quite like the Titans. They've had a bye this year, which means they've only put 80 minutes of footy on display. It was not pleasant to watch, and there will be strong motivation to remedy that. You are in your home opener. Look, you might say that Leichhardt's not a strong home advantage. I think it is. It's just that they've been a team, but they don't have a strong record. But I think they're still better there, you know, perfectly happy that this game isn't at Shark Park. Again, I just want to say it's still early in the season. People shouldn't think that they've got everybody completely figured out yet. Look at how bad the Knights and Dolphins looked at in round one. You know, that's what I'm hoping, that some major strides can be made for the likes of Tigers and Titans in round three off of their last performance. I'm not going to fault Cronulla much. The first 12 minutes at Mount Smart, they're well behind, and then since then they've pretty much dominated New Zealand and Canterbury last week. But I did mention in the recap the final score was quite deceiving in terms of the competitiveness of that game against Canterbury. I argue that Cronulla's best forward is Nicara, probably best attacking threat, but of course you should mention Hunt and ULA return, so the forward pack may be no weaker. I just think that when I look at these sides, I really can't see a huge separation in ability. Kind of like I said about the Bulldogs. I don't think the Bulldogs are like as good as Cronulla right now. I don't think the Tigers are as good, but I'm getting a lot of points. And Jareem Buller's still a gun player. Olam club debut. You look at the names in the pack, I actually think the Tigers have a pack that can battle with Cronulla and open the door for a class player like Appy to make some inroads. Don't need to win the game, just be there for, you know, at least an hour, hopefully. You reminded me as well, and I don't have the score in my head, but I feel like Cronulla was up kind of like 22-6 against West when West were home last year towards the back end of the year, and then West had a flurry of tries and suddenly it was like it was either level scores or maybe West had a try disallowed that would have put him in front with 20 to go. And then Cronulla ran all his tries in at the end and did end up winning kind of 13+. But that's could be a decent scenario. And I wouldn't mind if it plays out similarly this week, just without the total flurry at the end. I'm going to tip, I know people won't love it, but Cronulla winning ugly and 1-12.
So I've got a comment here on YouTube from Jeremy, and he says, and you've got it on the screen now, so I won't read that. Everyone can read that. What I want to ask you, I suppose, is given the Tigers have only scored 2 tries this year in their one game and they were both in the first half, would you recommend people playing Tigers at the line first half only like we did for our Doggies bet last round?
I looked at that. I'm trying to remember. I mean, I'm trying to remember the price, the +6, because not every bookie had 12.5. Some, as I said, were 11.5. And if any bookie's got 11.5, you're not going to get a 6 in the first half. That first half line is going to be 5.5, in which case I'm not interested. But I'll look in real time. I'll look at Toppy. Toppy has $6.5.77, so not high enough price for me to register as a best bet. But in the alt line, you could get a flat 6. I just, to get above the 12 and get the hook, I was happy that I think, you know, I'm not necessarily looking for a pattern of a team scored their tries first half, so they're a better first half team. I think just as much as that's true, if a team had a really bad second half, there's a greater focus on fixing that the next week. So I'm expecting at home an effort that extends for 80.
Mate, I know it's not quite $1.80. I was hoping you'd sell it a little bit more to me there, because every time you want to go a best bet, but it's just short of $1.80, I swear it wins. But we'll have to wait.
And there's nothing that stops anyone that follows this show backing things around $1.70s, whatever. They can be perfectly good. It's just like you got to draw the line somewhere. We want people to be able to view the best bet record as, 50-50 or close enough to propositions. And we've had ones that have paid $2 or $1.95 this year, right? So it averages out to close to $1.90. And we, on top of that, we keep a record of if you'd staked 100 to make it very clear exactly what odds we get. Yeah, there's been times where I've said, yeah, that's $1.79 or whatever. It could still be a really good bet.
Yeah, man, and I know, like, from what I've seen and other people that I've worked with in the past, like these professional gambling companies, when you buy their packages, a lot of their tips will be like $1.40, $1.50-ish. And their kind of theory is, you know, if you bet on safe things enough, you'll profit. Whereas it seems like you were like genuinely like, I back my knowledge of footy and I'm going to take the bookies on in a close to 50-50 ratio. Which is, it's awesome, man, to do that 9 years in a row.
I think it's easy to follow. I also think bookies can disguise how much they might rip you off in some of the $1.30s, $1.40s, but they can be perfectly good bets too. But the other thing that goes out the window is if people are tipping you $1.20s, $1.30s, $1.40s is when they tell you their record, you know, and their record's 40 and 15, it's going to sound great, but you can't actually judge that if you're picking, you know, a heap of super odds on. So it's just as important that I get my opinion across and that I make the tips and my bets as easy to follow and track as possible.
I think the lowest I've seen like a try score at was like Josh Adokar in the World Cup. I think we might have been versing Scotland or something. I think he was like $1.08, like just something absolutely crazy. Not that I saw it tipped anywhere officially, but I thought that was absolutely wild. I'm not sure why that sprung to my mind, but it did. Sunday arvo.
Very scored, though.
I was. Sunday arvo, we got Eels v Manly. We're at Combank. This is a pick 'em as well. Big news here, Blaze Talungi debuts in the centre for the Eels. He was my pick for their Rookie of the Year, so nice to see him get an opportunity. And this is a great way to open Sunday afternoon footy. These two sides aren't traditional rivals, but they have been great rivals in the past. It's also a really good test for the Seagulls to see where they're at and see where their consistency is going to be at over the course of a season. Now, I haven't tipped Manly all season long, and they've proven me wrong on two occasions there. Unfortunately for Manly, that trend is going to continue here. I do prefer the Eels in this one. I take nothing away from the Eels' loss to the Panthers last round, as it was almost predictable, and I more or less saw it coming with the preview that I gave last round. Eels do have a very good record against Manly, winning three of their last four. And they've also been brilliant at Combank recently, winning 8 from 10. So I'm predicting they rebound here, where their halves really connect well with the team. I think it'll be a close one. I don't see the Eels running away with this, because even if they do score a few tries, Manly will always feel like that game is within grasp because they're building new structures, new belief in what they're doing. But for me, I'm going to go Eels head-to-head. I think if it gets tight, I prefer a halves combo of Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses, slightly over DCE and Luke Brooks. And I do think the Eels are slightly stronger in the forward pack. Where the Eels are weak is their outside backs. And at the moment, with the injuries Manly have, they are missing a few players there as well. So Eels for me, head-to-head. I can't remember your best bet on this one. Was it for the Eels?
Exactly the same. Eels head-to-head. And I mentioned play it on 3-6-5 because you can't lose if it goes to extra time, but you could still win. And it's like you've copied my notes there, which isn't possible because you haven't seen them, but I pretty much had it as a simple handicap, you know, going kind of unit by unit. I'll give Manly the edge in the back five. And you mentioned their para strengths, not their outside backs. Manly do have Turbo in there, sure. But I also prefer para's halves. As good as Brooks has been, and DCE is still one of the best in the comp, I like Moses and Brown there. And then I also think para's got the stronger pack, and that includes who comes off the bench. Then you add in home advantage. And to me, para should be a clear favourite in this one. It's essentially pick 'em, so I'm going to be on para. that, you know, I didn't lose any admiration after the loss last week. You played Penrith in Penrith and the Panthers had a point to prove. Of course, Manly has been very impressive and they handed me my second best bet loss of the year on Sunday, controlled that game pretty much in the entirety. You know, am I still underestimating Manly? I've upgraded them in my mind from a team that won't be in the finals to a side that could be in the 5-8 range. But to me, Parra's more likely to play finals and could actually hunt around the top four. That's how I see it. At CommBank, I do think it's a really exciting Sunday Arvo game, given the style both these sides play. But I can just see the Eels executing at least one more chance than the Seagulls and getting the win.
Viega HD says on YouTube, I like Clarky not tipping Manly. It makes me know to tip Manly. If people aren't tracking that, in I think it was the 2021 season, I did not predict Manly right for like 18 weeks in a row, meaning every time I had them to win, they lost, and every time I had them to lose, they won. So Manly fans would comment on my tipping video every week, please, I hope you haven't tipped us, or why have you tipped us? It was a really, really strange run there. Final game of the round was Sunday night. It is the Knights v Storm in Newcastle. It's a pick'em. Hastings has been dropped. Jack Cogger is the Knights' new halfback. Both Jerome Hughes and Cameron Munster are unavailable, so Pezzett and Tyron Wishart are the halves. How do both sides reset following last round, Winnie? That is the big question here. I suppose the main question is rather, how do the new halves for both sides look? But the second biggest question is, how do they reset following last round for different reasons? They were both involved in nail-biting games, but the Knights ended up losing, the Storm just won. Despite that, I'm going to say, and this is like pure, this is rugby league, this is the sport we all love, I thought the Knights were better over 80 minutes in their game, and I thought the Storm were the worst of the two sides over 80 minutes in their game. But the results are skewed differently there, which is, you know, that's why we love the game. It's so unpredictable. We go to the stats and try to split them here. Knights have won 8 of their last 10. Sorry, the Knights have won 8 of their last 10 at McDonald Jones Stadium, and the Storm have won 11 of their past 12 against the Knights. So it doesn't get any easier to split when you look at it from a stats perspective. I want to tip the Knights here, Winnie. In fact, I have bet on the Knights head-to-head. I think they should win this game, but I'm just going to, for the show here, my age-old rule, never underestimate the Storm. They'll find a way to break my heart again like they did with my Warriors bet last week. So I'm on Knights, but I'm tipping Storm, and hopefully the punting gods, that plays into my favour somehow. You're with the Knights as well on this one in a head-to-head bet. Am I correct in that?
That's right. It's funny how you framed a couple of these stats, and it just goes to show you can spin them anyway. Like you mentioned, Brisbane's 1-15 in Penrith. So if you hear that, you're like, oh, Brisbane doesn't win in Penrith. But the one was last year. So they can, most recent form of Brisbane. And you've said Storm are 11-12 against the Knights. But the most recent game they played was a Knights win.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like the Knights. And it was at McDonald Jones. And look, generally, you talked about how do these teams respond. I prefer to be on the team that snatched victory from the jaws of defeat, like Melbourne did, because you get an energy boost from the game, but without the inflated ego, with it, you know, you realize how close you came to losing, so you can still search for that improvement. And conversely, I don't love taking a side that had their heart ripped out, kind of like the Knights with an 8-point lead late in North Queensland and losing ultimately in Golden Point, because I wonder how quickly you can kind of get over that and then focus on the task at hand. But early in the year, where it's far too early for anyone to say that, you know, a result defines their season, I do think the Knights can respond. Coming back home, you've got to redeem that awful outing, which was the opening game of the season on Australian soil. No Hughes out. Like, you don't like missing Munster, but now Hughes, that's compounding losing two playmakers in the halves. It's a big deal. And well, I know Hastings being dropped, I didn't see that coming, and I don't know if it's any injury related, but Cogger in his club debut, I don't think is going to do any harm. Neither is the return of your former captain, Jaden Brayley, off the bench. So it was pretty simple for me. I'm not saying the Knights are a better team than the Storm, but if you're taking out Hughes and Munster, I think they are slightly, and they're at home, and they're more desperate at 0-2 versus 2-0. I've got to take it.
Yeah, and I mean, I've kind of done a Gus Gould and really sat on the fence here where I've said, I'm betting on the Knights, but I'm tipping Storm. So no matter what happens here, when we do our recap show, I get the win there, which is a bit of an IQ heads up for me there. But do we have a mixed matchup, actually? Or no,
so
that's
I shouldn't
right.
Let people know. So because Tristan's overseas, I can't get it negotiated in the small window from team list to when we go live. I will have to release it later in the week. And I'm 0-2 on the mixed mats up. So I'm desperate to find a winner there. But doesn't mean there's no more tips for tonight, because Nicole coming in hot with he's now doing the 2 out of 3 ain't bad market, which was absolute fire all NFL season. So shout out to Nettie, Barney, Undertaker. But Nicole's taken on that responsibility. Tipped 3 players to score last week. Mulatalo, Rapana, and the Hammer. Needed at least 2 to score. All 3 got all up, 3. In fact. Let's hear who he likes for a try in round 3.
Hey, guys. It's Nicole from Wiki. I've had a crap run with my tips from this video in the last couple of weeks, but we got the 2 out of 3 ain't bad last week. Actually got all 3 out of 3 with Hammer getting a hat-trick, which is awesome. Look, my tip for this week is going to be Daily Cherry Evans at 5s to score on top spot. He scores every 4.15 games, so I love the price itself. Also, Cherry Evans on the right side attacking, I think it's Blaise Talungi and I think Morgan Harper on the left side for Para. Obviously, Pennacini and Russell play on the right. So good luck. Punt responsibly. As always, guys, Google Wiki Linktree. It's our 4-year anniversary today. And I think we're very close to hitting 4,000 people on our Discord. Odds comparison tool with first and anytime try scorer markets across 6 different bookies. It's all free, including our Punters Preview podcast article. We'll catch you soon. Good luck. Enjoy.
Good stuff there, DCE.
He's been hard on himself saying his tips have been crap. I mean, week 1, he took Brooks, but he said first try score at 36, and Brooks, Brooks, he scored at $6. Now he seems to be tending more towards anytime try scorer, so not as long odds, and he'll hit soon enough. He's had some outrageous hits so far in other games, just haven't been on our show, but that's where you go and check out Wiki and their punting preview article. And the odds comparison tool is so handy. Whether you're building a same game or you just want to have a flyer at a first try score. I mean, I went to Broncos South last week, so I said I'm going to chuck on, had a couple of bonuses to play with. I'm going to chuck on a couple of first try scorers. So the bookie that I've got the bonus with, let's see which players they've got the best odds with, best odds at. And Dean Mariner, $10. Now, $10 for a talented winger like Dean Mariner on a team that's $1.30 favorite, you don't need to twist my arm any further. So that added to the game, but again, it makes it so much easier with the odds comparison tool. So thanks to Nicole. Although this week his pick DCE, it goes against the best bet. It's not impossible that you can win both of those.
Absolutely. Both outcomes can happen. That's what we hope for. Thank you to Nicole for that video, and thank you to Wiki. We love Wiki, and congratulations on the 4-year anniversary as well. At this point, we will put the curtains forward and close our show. We want to say thank you very much to all of our live viewers for being here with us. And our next show will be Sunday night, 15 minutes following the Knights v Storm game to recap the round, our 6 best bets, the mixed matchup, and the better same game multi. From myself again, thank you very much. And over to you, Winnie, for the famous last words.
Thanks for joining us, guys. Glucky, you're not here Sunday. Is that right?
You're going to
Vegas later in the month. So this could be our last recap show together. Look forward to that. I have 6 best bets to cheer on throughout the round. Or tell me now, otherwise forever hold your peace, why you don't like them. There's plenty of reasons you may not, and I'd love to hear them all. So happy to chat throughout the week. I hope everyone has a great one. See you Sunday. Lego.